Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are talking about Season 3, Episode 11 of Daredevil. This episode is called Reunion. All that right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name's Matthew Carroll.
And my name's Alyssa Terry.
Well, hello, beautiful Alyssa Terry. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited about this show. I feel like this was a lot happened this episode. By no means I don't want to say not a lot happened, but this did feel kind of like another reaction episode. This show seems to like go in move in waves of like big things happening, and then everyone sort of reacts. And this one, everyone reacted. At least all our kind of protagonists reacted in a good way. Nadim seeing the carnage laid bare, spoiler alert, by the way, Nadim being seeing the carnage laid bare by Bounce Devil.
We should stop calling him Bounce Devil.
I'm sorry, you came up with it.
And it was real cute at first.
At this point, it's just what I call him. I don't even know what his real name is. He sees the carnage that Dex has wrought in the church. He sees the priest on the floor with a stake through his heart. Like, it's real rough. And Nadim realizes he's and the person who leads him to this really is Sister Maggie.
Right.
Do you consider yourself a
moral person?
Right.
She like leads him to his answers without forcing him.
Yeah, I loved it. Do you consider yourself a moral person? I try to. Da, da, da. And then she says, "Well, my friend died trying to protect Karen Page from evil. Are you going to just turn him over to it?"
Mm-hmm.
Because she sees through the matrix on this one. She sees that Dex is the bad guy.
And right.
She saw him walking out of the church. She knows it's Dex. So she's fully on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. I loved her kind of just orchestrating the moral stuff to happen in the background. And in the foreground, when she's toward the end, she's like, "Hold on, Foggy. We're not ready. Karen's about to come out." Like, I loved that. And that was probably my favorite moment in this episode, is Foggy joining the fight as Lawyer Foggy, you know?
Yeah. He did a great job.
Possible District Attorney Foggy. That was hard to say for some reason.
Yeah, that whole scene was really interesting there in the church, and Foggy's come to help Karen and Matt, and Maggie's helping Karen and Matt, so everyone's together, and then we see Nadim actually let Karen be saved, which was really cool.
When Nadim walked over, in the face, it's amazing in the face of Fisk, how he's got everyone so over a barrel. Foggy, Nadim, Matt, Karen, he's got them all so against the ropes, and it would be easy for any of them just to give in
or to give up.
And to see each of them individually make the decision to keep fighting is great. Foggy, when he comes in there, that is him putting his family in peril, his family's finances in peril, just to come in there the way he does. And then Matt and Karen, of course, are just running for their lives. But then when Nadim turns and tells Mahoney, "If you let her into our custody, she'll be dead within the hour."
And that was crazy, because he essentially let someone in on the secret.
Yeah.
Who isn't... Fisk doesn't necessarily have anything on. He's just an outsider. He lets in on the FBI's corruption, which is huge.
Yep. And
that's a huge risk, which we get to see like the immediate fallout of that. But that's...
I don't know how Nadim got away. I would have liked to see the scene where Nadim somehow got out of the clutches of Dex. Because he's been like kind of right on him the whole time, saying, "Yeah, partner. Let's go do this, partner. Mm-hmm. You're with me, partner." Like,
right.
Been creepy as hell.
Dex is like, if I tell you you're my partner enough times, maybe you'll believe it. And Nadim's just not buying it. He just feels awful the whole time.
Every time he says partner to me, it's him, like, threatening Nadim.
Oh, you think it's more of a threat?
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah. I think he's like, because Nadim tried to sell him out. Mm-hmm. And he's told Nadim straight up, like, when all this, you know, when I get a chance, when it's time, I'm taking you down. Mm-hmm. And so he just keeps saying, "Hey, partner." It's this like twisted, passive aggressive sort of thing that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I don't know.
I hear you.
the entirety of this episode was just a lot of people making the decision to stand up to Fisk, while Fisk is getting in even more of a powerful position. He's been released from prison.
Right.
And he's stepping out in public and saying, you know, I'm a private citizen. I'm a good man. Like, you could see him, politician Fisk coming out.
Oh, right. That was crazy. The speech that he gave, and everyone's booing him and rioting, and they're just like, ah, like, so against this. And then he just settles them in his Fisk way.
He puts them all in a trance. He's got me in a trance. I like him even.
I know.
It's crazy.
My favorite moment of people standing up to Fisk, I think, was the private citizen with the painting.
Yes.
Where he goes to her home and his, like, Fisk-like, authoritative, you know,
I presence. Love her standing up to him. Obviously, he could, like, just straight up murder her or do something to take her painting.
I was terrified the whole time. I'm not going to lie.
It was very scary, but him choosing to let her have it because he thinks that was what Vanessa would want is huge.
That is huge.
It means there's, like, something within him that's, like, actually being won over by the goodness of Vanessa.
Right. I think it's the first time I've seen him really talk about Vanessa's qualities or traits. Like, I've said this a few times, I feel like he feels this possession over Vanessa.
Right.
And I think it was the first time that he expressed something of why he loves her, or not necessarily, like, why, but, like, an artifact of his love for her.
Yeah.
It looks like love.
Yeah.
For the first time to me, in less possession and power.
Mm. I can see that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of fuzzy on season one. I know there's a lot more Fisk Vanessa stuff in season one.
Yeah.
So I'd have to go back and see, like, really how their relationship was built. I just know that, like, he, like, just genuinely trusted her and loved her, and she genuinely trusted him even while he blew up parts of Hell's Kitchen. He's, like, blowing up Hell's Kitchen. That's the iconic scene I remember from when she, like, decides to stick by his side as he's blowing up Hell's Kitchen. It's insane.
What's up with that, Vanessa?
Come on, Vanessa.
I wouldn't stick by you if you blew up Birmingham.
If you truly believed that I was doing it for the right reason?
Nope.
You sure?
Yep.
All right.
Sorry, man. I don't have a love like Vanessa's.
I guess I'll scrap those plans. Let's see. Anything else in this episode we really want to touch on? I feel like, again, like, this was kind of a reactive episode.
Oh, another huge thing is when Daredevil goes to Nadim's house.
Oh, I love
it. And they have this whole fight scene, and he's protecting Nadim and his family, and then he reveals himself to
Nadim. And I was trying to remember, like, why does Nadim even, what is Nadim's relationship to Matt Murdock? Because he looked very shocked. Mm-hmm. Of course, Nadim, for the first half of the season, or, like, for the middle part of the season, was chasing Matt Murdock. That was the guy he's after.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was huge.
That was so huge. I was shocked that he did that.
If I were Matt, I probably would not trust Nadim with that.
Well, Nadim's got too much to lose.
Yeah. Nadim has too much to lose, and Fisk still has a lot of control. And we know that he was just under Fisk's thumb. Like, I just fear, I don't know that. I don't know if that was a good call.
I don't know either.
I think in the moment he had to do it.
He had to do something to prove.
He had to prove to Nadim, I'm giving you trust, will you give me trust?
Right.
Of course, as soon as Nadim lowered that gun, Daredevil could have taken him.
Well, yeah.
Just taking him out. Loved it. I love this episode.
That's awesome.
I want more. I want to know what happens next. There's some really good conversations that we haven't discussed yet about. One of my favorite parts of the episode is when Matt and Karen are talking in the basement, and they talk, and Karen admits to having killed Wesley, and also admits to having killed her brother.
Right.
And how that nothing can wash that away. And, like, why'd she never tell him? She says, it's because you looked at me with, like, I was so innocent.
Right.
And I don't think she's been looked at in an innocent manner, like, in a long, long time. Even that Karen we saw in the last episode where she's partying, she was, like, a party girl. And then Matt and Foggy come along with this, like, completely different view of her.
Mm-hmm. And I think she loved it.
I think she really did love it.
Yeah. I think that was harder for her to give up.
Yeah. So she kept these secrets, and he gives that up, and now he says, it's time for you to judge me. I'm planning to kill Fisk. And she's like, I don't judge you, but I just feel sad for you. It was just like what we were talking about on the last cast. I just feel sad for you. I just feel like this isn't, like, once you go this far, you're never the same. I don't want Matt to kill, but I really want Kingpin dead.
For them, yeah.
Right.
I also really liked the end of the episode, which this one's called Reunion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, which it should have like foreshadowed, but I don't know. Always shocked when they got back together and there were the three of them again. And
yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
And Matt's apologetic for all the things he's done.
Yeah. He just sits there and agrees with all the things Foggy says.
It's hard to fight. It's hard to fight with you when you keep agreeing with me. Here's what I fear is like a possible resolution. Matt's going to agree to work within the law with them to get access to Fisk again, and then he's going to kill him.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't know if, as much as Foggy's idealism is attractive, I don't know that it's really winning Matt over.
And then, like, Foggy wins the election and has to prosecute Matt.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I hate that.
Okay, I didn't say it.
That was a good one. I love thinking of those horrible ways that this season could end. All right, guys. Well, we are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or 573-CAST-MCU to leave us a voicemail. We'll be doing a big Daredevil season-ending feedback roundup next week, so get all your feedback in. If you'd like to support the cast, reach out to us at patreon.com/mcucast. We are actually finally going to have all these episodes up very soon. At this point, if you're listening to this, we've only got two more to go, but I'm sure they're all over there. So if you're like, I want to hear them talk about the rest, go on over there. They're up right now. You could be listening to them. If you're listening to this on Patreon, not yet, but tomorrow, probably. Probably tomorrow. Thank you guys so much. Have a great night.
Until next time, true believers.